This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, June 25th, 2022, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
His mother kept all these words in her heart. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The story of our Lord being in the temple for 3 days, unbeknownst to his father and his mother, when they find him after 3 days, kind of interesting, that whole 3 day thing, kind of a foreshadow of the 3 days that our Lord spent in the grave. He spends 3 days outside of his mother's understanding. And when she finds him, she, let's say, misunderstands what's going on. Our Lord, when she confronts him, says, "Should I not be in my father's house?" Other English versions say this, and the Greek can be translated both ways. "I have to be about my father's business." Actually, that is the more appropriate, given other gospel passages where we see that Greek, and it is about my father's business. Either or, when we look at our Lord being about his father's business, this emphasis that begins here. Because up to this time, Joseph has been recognized as his foster father. Joseph has borne the title, the father of Jesus, as was assumed. At this point in the gospel, right before our Lord becomes in what, and even to this day, we have bar mitzvahs at this particular age, when a boy becomes a man, as far as the Jewish understanding of things go in that context. We see this transition of Jesus from boyhood to manhood, and we also see a transition from this emphasis of Joseph as his father to the emphasis on his relationship with his natural father, the Father Almighty, God Eternal. This emphasis and relationship our Lord Jesus Christ presents to his mother. "Did you not know I have to be about my father's business? I have to be in my father's house." You know, for the Blessed Virgin up to this point, you know, her mind's, well, if you were, had been with us, you would have been going back. You would have been in the father's house. But no, our Lord, he starts to put a line of a delineation between his foster father and his true father. This is something that we see here. Our Lord being in the temple lays hold and presents to his Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph this change in emphasis. It's kind of interesting to see the whole temple thing also. You look at the Blessed Mother, when our Lord is 8 days old, she brings him to the temple to present him. Here he's in the temple for these 3 days, being about his father's business. And then in chapter 19 of Luke, we see our Lord Jesus Christ going into the temple and cleansing the temple. It's kind of interesting that every one of those incidents, there's this common thread of people not understanding. At the presentation, we have almost the same word. Our Blessed Mother, she's confronted with the words of Simeon the priest, but she doesn't quite understand what's, you know, the implications of, you know, "Yes, this is the Messiah. Lord, now let my thou servant depart in peace. I have seen thy salvation." Simeon says this, which should be exalting to the Blessed Virgin Mother, but then it follows up immediately with, "And a sword shall pierce your soul." Okay, what's going on here? There's this lack of appreciation, not in the sense of she doesn't appreciate it as in it's a negative thing. She doesn't appreciate the truths. She doesn't understand the profound nature of this. In this case also, She doesn't understand. The cleansing of the temple, it goes beyond the Blessed Mother and the religious authorities of the day. They don't understand what our Lord has done. Actually, the word says, our Lord cleanses a temple, and they ask him under what authority. In another gospel, we understand this part of it. But our Lord's, they don't get understand our Lord responds. And they could not, they didn't understand, but they didn't know what to do about him because they feared the people. Okay, there were some people that understood and others that did not. Kind of weird that the ones that did not are the ones that should have in the first place, the religious authorities. But this common thread about our Lord's presence in the temple and misunderstanding, it's not so much a history lesson, it's very practical for us. It's very practical for us because when we come in the temple, we're confronted with a lot of truths that we really don't understand. We can't figure them out. You know, I stand up here and I talk about them, and I'm, you know, I think I above everybody walk away going, how does that work out with this? How does this work out with that? Do I just ignore it because it's a truth? No, I ponder it in my heart, just like we all should. We come in here and we hear things and we see things and things happen in society this very day, past couple of days. What happens? Something righteous happens and the heathen rage. To quote the psalmist, why do the heathen rage? Because they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get the more profound nature of righteousness. We are supposed to be the ones to get this, but we even don't get this. The Blessed Mother didn't get it. This is how deep are the reality and the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ are. But what do? We do just like she did. We ponder them in our heart. And that doesn't mean you just kind of sit around and cogitate on them. You ponder them with other information that you received. Our Blessed Mother, with the things that Simeon said, with the things that the shepherd said at the manger. What's going on right here? She builds up her understanding of redemption and the mysteries of faith by pondering these things. This is what we're called to do. This is our Catholic life, pondering these things. You know, we're not going to understand them all the time. I mean, it specifically said our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, and they understood not the word that he spoke to them. I mean, they didn't understand the words. They didn't understand what he meant. Our Blessed Lord, why did you seek me? Didn't you know I was supposed to be about my Father's business? The Blessed Mother the Immaculate One. Yeah, I get it now. I forgot that you're God's son. No, she didn't. She just dealt with it and pondered her thing because you really look at it. That is a tremendous sorrow for a parent not to understand their own child. I don't mean to understand them like, why do you want to dress like that or why you don't want to get that too? Not that kind of misunderstanding of why they want to do that, because we kind of understand that. You're a goof. Okay. That's how we understand that part of it. What I'm talking about is when a child, particularly if it's something of a divine nature, throughout history, for instance, we see St. Clair, she wants to become a nun. She wants to commit herself to her family actually, I mean, physically kidnapped her, dragged her away from St. Francis, locked her up in a house, boarded up the doors, put nails in her door. You know, that happened time and time again. I don't know of a priest, I mean, who's relatively popular in TV circles, EWTN, one of the priests, his father disowned him when he went into the priesthood. Why? There's a misunderstanding. The way a parent was, I want this for you. I know this will be so much better for you. And you want to become a priest? It's ridiculous. No, it's not. It's a matter that, Dad, can you imagine having a priest in your family? Somebody to offer mass for you while you're alive and after you're dead. More importantly, after you're dead. The glories and the manifest blessings of having a priest in the family. No, I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a lawyer. For what? 20, 25, 30 years, maybe. And then maybe you'll be real successful. Not many are. So we got to have this understanding of a more profound nature. Again, it's a sorrow for a parent not to understand, not to get what their child wants. But you got to look at the totality of the circumstances. Our Blessed Mother did that when she ponders these things in her heart. She looks at the entire circumstance. This is conjecture on my part. I can kind of picture the Blessed Mother. I don't get what he said. I mean, you know, this angel thing and the shepherds and Immaculate Conception and all, you know, virgin births and all this kind of stuff. Kind of overwhelming, but I'm just going to have to sit back and just take this all in. Basically, our Blessed Mother is along for the ride. We may not appreciate God's will when our children go that direction, but the understanding should be appreciated nonetheless. The misunderstanding should be appreciated. I don't get this. Just pray about it. I do want a little footnote here. This is the last time we hear about St. Joseph in the Gospel. I know this is Immaculate Heart of Mary, but there is probably no one second to our Lord Jesus Christ but St. Joseph in the heart of the Immaculate One. This is a great tribute to St. Joseph. Last time we hear about him, and what's the last line that concerns him? And he went back with them and was obedient to them. What a tribute to St. Joseph. Our Lord grew in stature before God and man under Joseph's earthly tutelage. This is a very glorious thing to think about when it comes to St. Joseph, one whom we know little of, but whom we should ponder, just like all these other profound faiths. So that's really an interesting thing to think about when it comes to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin. That our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, took first and foremost place in her heart. The St. Joseph had to be very, very close second. This is something we need to appreciate. We might not only, just like our Blessed Mother, we may not appreciate all the time the truths of the Gospel, but if we delve into it, we do start to open our eyes a little bit to the deeper things. And if we don't understand, we have to remain faithful. This is the reality of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because you look at the Immaculate, it is so interesting to see how the inferior can assist the superior. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is second to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But most of our images have both. There's an integrity between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary that it's indivisible. If you really think about it, although the Immaculate Heart of Mary is second to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Immaculate Heart of Mary gave her fiat. And when she gave her fiat, then our Lord became incarnate and he received a heart. She set the stage for everything that he could do that he could not do as the eternal Son of God before his incarnation, like hunger, weep, be tempted in every way as we are yet without sin, and ultimately suffer and die. God cannot do that. God is a spirit. He had to receive flesh to do that, and it was our Blessed Mother's fiat that did that. So the inferior allowed for the superior to come on to the scene. It's kind of a picture of what we do. As weak as we may be in the presentation of the Gospel, in the presentation of righteousness, evangelization, as weak as we may be in that, the Holy Spirit will use us to work in the souls of other people. Don't ever let anybody look at you. How many souls have you saved? The answer to that is always very easy. None. We don't save souls. We are conduits through which the Holy Spirit will work and save souls. It's okay. There's actually a copy of Bibles you'll actually read. Soul Winners Edition. It's an awful bold claim. Anyway, we don't save souls. Our Lord Jesus Christ does. His Holy Spirit works through us. The inferior allows the superior to work in it. Why? Ask him when you get there. This is the way he works things out. That's all we have to appreciate and understand. This is how God works. So the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we have to look at the integrity between those two, but again, also appreciate, ponder it in your heart, how the inferior could allow for the superior. Again, that's us. Through the Immaculate Heart, we give ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This whole idea of our Blessed Mother not understanding, it should make us feel better when we don't. I don't think anybody in here was immaculately conceived like she was. She's got a lot going for her that we do not have going for her, and she didn't get it. We shouldn't be all bent out of shape when we don't get it. We unfortunately try to understand too much. You can never understand too much. That is true. You have to understand your capacity and understand that you're not going to know everything, although we want to. We want an answer for everything. You're not going to get it. Ponder it in your heart. Maybe, maybe not someday you receive an answer, but don't try to understand too much without consideration. Whenever we want to understand something, always, oh, I have the answer to that. Consider the deeper things. A lot of people can ask you about anything. You ask about them and you kind of tap dance around things, dazzle them with your brilliance and things like that. You just throw a little bit of things out. But there's so much more to our faith. There's so much more to understanding the things of our faith. This is the reality. This is what is meant by our Blessed Mother hiding these things in her heart. We, because of her Immaculate Heart and her intercession for us with her Son, has given us part in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That part in the Sacred Heart of Jesus is doing, as I said before, being a conduit through which he can work in this world, given our frailties. He's always worked like that. He worked like that through the Blessed Virgin Mary, who immaculately conceived, but nonetheless a creature. He works through us also. This is the way he does things, and it has worked to great effect. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.